Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, and welcome to Blue Shirt Banter Radio. My name is Jim. I'm your host, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Joe Fortunato. Joe, good evening. How are you all doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I think we had a little bit of a technical. Did our music cut out there at the beginning and then restart?
No,
Did you hear that?
I'm not sure.
All right. Well, we'll have to talk to the producers of the show about that. But as the music started, it cut out, and then all of a sudden, it just restarted from the beginning. So. A little technical glitch, but that's okay. Coming to you live from Blue Shirt Banter Radio Studio B this evening. And I got a little comic relief on the TV in the background here, Joe. As you know, I'm not just a hockey fan. I'm a well-rounded sports fan. And the Mets are on TV tonight. So if you hear me laughing, you'll know why.
Okay, but, well, I'm a Yankee fan, so I'm all right.
Well, we got a lot to cover tonight. And I see we've already got a caller waiting on the line. Let's go. This is going to be Dave from Blue Shirt Blue Seat Blogs. Dave, are you there?
Okay,
Dave, hello?
I didn't hit anything, and it just connected me.
Dave, I think you just have ESP, and your phone knows when to call in.
Now, that was weird, because my phone's on speaker in a different room.
Well, you're on the air, Dave. How's it going?
Same old. How are you?
Good. We're off to a flying start here tonight. We've got a few technical glitches, I think, but that's okay.
All right.
Anyway, what's on your mind tonight?
Nikolai Zverev.
All right. Well,
I was hoping we could talk about this because I kind of want to talk about him.
Yeah. All right. We'll get right into Zverev. I didn't want to leave Dave Holden, so we put him right up. But all right, we'll start with Nikolai Zverev. We got a lot we want to get to tonight, but let's start there. What's your feeling on the whole Zverev situation? Let me just a little background real quick. Zverev, he did file for arbitration. The Rangers offered him a qualifying offer of, I believe it was $3.25 million. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
That right?
That is good.
Okay. His agent has filed for arbitration. Rumor is, I think the number that was being thrown out yesterday was that they're looking for $4.5 million.
Yeah, they want a four-year, $4.5 million a year deal, which is pretty ridiculous considering the way Zverev finished the year. So that's where we're standing now.
Okay. So basically, and the general thinking seems to be that if that is the number that comes out in arbitration, that the Rangers are just going to let him walk and he'll become a restricted free agent. That's the background. So, Dave, what did you want to talk about regarding Jared?
First off, 4 years for him is a little bit ridiculous, but, you know, arbitration deals are only 1 year, generalized 1 year, and, you know, if you give him $4 million for one more year, that's market value. I mean, you're not going to get a 60-point score for less than $4 million right now. So I don't know what everybody else is so up in arms about. That's normal.
Well, I'll tell you what they're up in arms about, Dave, and what they're up in arms about is the fact that this is a kid who put up, 58 points in the regular season, and he scored no points in the postseason.
Exactly that. He's a kid. He's 23. It was his first playoffs. Cut him some slack. He's 23. He's younger than me.
From a personal standpoint, I hope they keep him. I would be more than willing to pay him a $4 million contract for 2 or 3 years. But $4.5 million is ridiculous. He was a no-show. He didn't score a point in the last 14 games he played in, the 7 final regular season games and the 7 playoff games. And, you know, I think a lot of people get on him because they expected a lot from him. But Gomez had a terrible year. And I think that Jared, for the fact that he is 23 years old, turning 24 this year, if he can put up 23 goals and 35 assists on that team last year, a team that didn't score, he's worth at least a 2-year deal because, in all, you know, someone will take him 2 or 3 years, $4 million. And worst comes to worst, Sather's made much worse contracts than that.
Yeah, that's my thoughts exactly. I mean, just give the kid a chance. And Ranger fans, we're prone to tunnel vision. Yeah, he had 1 point in April and none in the playoffs, but, I mean, he was around maybe 0.75 points per game before that. So cut the kid some slack, seriously.
Yeah, and I think the other big problem is that, as we talked about on our first show, when Tortorella came into town, he made a statement that this is going to be a hard-working, workhorse, speed, bust-your-butt-up-and-down-the-ice team. And none of the guys, he said, were prepared for that because Rennie wasn't like that. His conditioning for John Tortorella's system was awful. He was not prepared. If you give him, he knows what he's coming into this year. He knows what training camp is going to be like. He knows what September is going to be like. He will be a much better player properly prepared.
Exactly. So that's why I'm just saying give the kid a year and just, I mean, people are calling for Alex Tanguay. First off, he doesn't even play the same position. And, you know, Tanguay is coming at $5 million for the same production. I don't know why you would choose Tanguay over Zverev.
I wouldn't. I'd go with Zverev. He's going to be a star. If he cares. And you know what? If he put up 60 points last year not giving a damn, then I'm very willing to see what Tortorella can squeeze out of him.
Yeah, not giving a damn and playing half the season with Aaron Voros.
Yeah.
Like I've said all along, I don't have a problem with them keeping Zverev, especially in a short-term deal. I don't want to see them give him a long-term, you know, big money contract until he proves something. If Tortorella can get his head in the game and get him to fit within the system, I think, you know, there's undeniably a lot of talent there. So it'll be interesting to see. When is the arbitration hearing? Takes sometime late in the month, correct? Before the first.
It takes place in August, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, it was July 20th.
Oh, July. Yeah, you might be right, actually. July 20th sounds about right. But there's no way an arbitration judge is going to see $4.5 million for Zverev. I can guarantee you that. An arbitration judge will probably give him $3.75.
They're going to give him $4. Nick Andropov is the same player points-wise, and he got $4 million. Expect him to get $4 million in arbitration.
But my problem with that is that in the playoffs, he did nothing, literally nothing, and I'm pretty sure that the Rangers will – if you don't know how arbitration works, basically, the Rangers sit on one side of the courtroom, and Zverev and his agent sit on the other, and they fight over, you know, the Rangers will bring up his negative points, and Zverev's agent will bring up his positive points, because I don't think Jared speaks English, and a judge comes to a decision on how much he earns per year, and the Rangers can make their own contract. So I'm pretty sure that the Rangers are going to go pretty heavy on him not scoring at all in the playoffs. I'd be surprised if it went to 4, honestly.
Well, the other side of that is, yeah, he didn't put up a point in the playoffs, but I think, what, four players on the roster put up points in the playoffs? And, you know, Zverev was the second leading scorer on the team. I'm not sure if he was, if he outscored Gomez or not, but he's up there in top two. That's the other side of the story.
Yeah,
and that's more of the season than, you know, just 1 month.
And 1 year, $4 million would not be a big deal for me for Zverev. And if anyone has a true problem with that, then, I don't know what you want.
Well, I mean, they want Evgeny Malkin at $1 million a year.
Can we make that deal?
I'll do it.
Malkin straight up.
Yeah, let's do it. All right, Dave, we're going to let you go. We're going to get to some other calls. Thanks for checking in, and thanks for listening. And as always, thanks for being a part of BlueShirtBanter.com. We'll talk to you soon.
All righty, see you.
All right. I know we got a couple of guys on hold. We'll get right to you in a couple of minutes. We just want to kind of set up the show for tonight. and the number to call in is 646-478-4692. Again, you're listening to Blue Shirt Banter Radio. We are the only, Joe, did you know we're the only radio show devoted to the New York Rangers? Regular radio show on a regular basis, we're the only ones.
Really?
I looked that up. There are a few others, but they're a little more sporadic than we are. We're the only ones doing this on a weekly basis, and we are going to continue to do this on a weekly basis. We're going to do this every Wednesday night at 7:30 p.m., just like we've been doing. And basically, we'll do it throughout the summer, and hopefully we'll have things to talk about every week. So mark us down on your calendar, 7:30 every Wednesday night, Blue Shirt Banter Radio. We'll always take your phone calls. We love hearing from you guys. And the two calls that are on hold, we'll get to you guys in just a second. Joe, we wanted to talk a little bit about the prospect camp that the Rangers had. They had, I believe it was a 5 or 6 day camp that just ended. And you had some thoughts on that, and then why don't you go ahead, and then I had some couple of things we can talk about.
All right. Well, I guess what we'll start with is whether or not you all know what we're talking about. There's a prospect camp that the Rangers hold that has, you know, their big prospects, like Evgeny Grachev was there, Michael Delzato was there, and all the draft picks from this year reported. And basically, from a lot of sources, Steve Zippy, I know, was one of them, said that the real standouts were Grachev, Heikkinen, I don't know if that's how you pronounce his name, if you all remember the Finnish defenseman that the Rangers signed, the offensive defenseman, and he said that Kreider actually did very well, the Rangers' first-round draft pick this year, and Ryan Bourque, the Rangers' third-round draft pick. Zippy basically put it that Evgeny Grachev, Heikkinen and Ryan Bourque were like unbelievable. Bourque had a great, he stood above everybody else. He was fantastic. There are whispers that Heikkinen might make the team this year if he has a good enough camp because he has a heck of a shot and he's been fantastic. So, I mean, it's just nice to see that, you know, these prospects are blossoming. And in September 6th to the 10th, there is the Traverse City tournament that the Red Wings host that has all of the, it has eight teams. The Rangers are one of them. The others are Columbus, Atlanta, Dallas, Minnesota, St. Louis, and maybe Tampa Bay. And their prospects play against one another in a tournament. The Rangers were pretty bad last year. They were 1-3, and they were shut out twice. And Grachev actually didn't even record a point. But it should be interesting to watch it because it lets you show how your prospects, you know, stack up against the other teams.
A few of the things I was reading, Ryan Bourque, everybody seems to be really impressed with his speed. Matt Gilroy had apparently did himself pretty well in the prospect camp as well. And Heikkinen, you were talking about his shot from the point. You seem to be raving about that. And, of course, one other name that kept popping up was Derek Stepan, who Jess from the Prospect Park was talking about with us a few weeks ago about being such a great skater and possibly NHL ready when the Rangers go to camp in September. And, that tournament you were talking about with the Red Wings tournament, that's in September. I think Colorado is also going to be there. Did you mention Colorado? And Atlanta was one of the other teams I saw.
Are there the other two teams there? No, I did not mention them.
Okay.
I did mention Atlanta, not Colorado.
And I also saw somewhere that the NHL Network will be showing that tournament. So that'll be interesting to see.
Also, just since we're talking about the draft, and we really didn't have time to talk about it on the first show, a lot of people are saying that the Rangers got, you know, their first-round pick was obviously a first-round prospect. Werick, is that how you pronounce his name? Rex
Ethan
or whatever?
Ethan Werick.
Werick, he was supposed to be a first-round draft pick, and scouts are saying that if Ryan Bourque was 3 inches taller, he would have been a first-round draft pick without question. So,
yeah.
I mean, the Rangers did really well in this draft.
Absolutely. I think so as well. And so before we move on to our next topic, I'm going to get to a couple of phone calls here. And we have one of everybody's favorites. He's been holding for a few minutes now. So let's bring him in. And here he is, the mouth from RangerCrisis.com.
Yes.
How are you, buddy?
How you doing, guys? Love it. Love the show again. Another bang-up job by you guys.
Well, thank you, sir. And there's a rumor going around that we've inspired you to branch out on your own in the radio industry.
Well, you guys are an inspiration. I wanted, you know, I don't want to be a copycat because I'd love to be able to duplicate what you guys are doing. But I think that I'll bring my own brand of, you know, Ranger analogy, Ranger analysis, and I decided, hey, maybe I'll start up my own show, see how it goes.
Beautiful. And your show is when?
It's going to be on tomorrow night. You can go to my site, rangercrisis.com. It'll be on between 9 and 11. You know, maybe those night owls will join me. Hey, listen, it's going to be fun. I can tell you, I can just guarantee it's going to be different. That's for sure.
Your show is going to be on for 2 hours. Are you able to talk for that long? I have a hard time believing that you can keep up conversation for that long.
Mouth could talk forever.
That's
okay.
Right. And with the name in the mouth, I could talk,
exactly.
You know. I mean, you know, I'll have nothing, no problem. Plus, I may have some special guests. I'm not going to promise anything, but I may have some special guests, definitely.
I will guest for you anytime.
You've got an open invite. Jumpin' Joe, Jolton, Joe Fortunato, and Jimmy the Jam over there doing a great job. I don't want to crack you guys up, but, you know,
way too late for that. I'll definitely be listening to your show tomorrow night, and one good turn deserves another, and I will definitely call in to say hi.
I'm looking forward to it. I just wanted to bring up just a couple subjects. You know, what is it with this Derek Morris fascination all of a sudden? With all the range of prospects we got coming up, we got Gilroy. He's got a one-way contract. Why are the Rangers pursuing Demo so bad? I don't really find the guy that much of an asset. He's not a shutdown defenseman. He's not a offensive defenseman. What do you guys think about that?
Well, when the Rangers made the trade for Derek Morris, what were the things that we heard about Derek Morris? We heard he was physical. We heard that he would help the power play because he had a great shot from the point. And we heard that he was good in his own zone. I don't recall seeing any of that from Derek Morris. I think that his agent here, this is a little bit of what I've read today. His agent just might be kind of sniffing around, and by dropping the Rangers name, it can keep the interest and maybe up the ante around the league a little bit. I would be very, very surprised if Derek Morris is back with the Rangers. Come when the season starts. I just think the Rangers have so much defensive talent on the way, and you know they're already. You've got Roosevelt and Redden aren't going anywhere, and Stahl, of course, you know, is going to be there. So that's going to leave them three spots. They're not going to pay. I don't think they signed Matt Gilroy all that money to send him to Hartford. Everybody seems to think he's going to make the team. That leaves you with two slots. One of them is Girardi. That leaves you with one slot. I just don't see any possible way Derek Morris is back with this team come October. What do you think, Joe?
Well, I mean, when the Rangers – all right, last year you'll all remember that at the trading deadline, there were really three big names on the market when it came to defensemen. One of them was Jay Bouwmeester. One of them was possibly Scott Niedermeyer. and one of them was Derek Morris. And Derek Morris, in his career, happens to be a very good offensive defenseman. You know, he has a hell of a shot. And he's supposed to be pretty solid defensively. Like Jim said, I saw none of that when he was on the Rangers. He was okay, but for the amount of prospects that the Rangers gave up for him, and by that I mean Peter Peruka, because I could care less about Kalinin and Dawes, I was very upset with his play. If none of the kids are available, if Heikkinen isn't ready to make the team, if Corey Potter's not ready to make the team, if Bobby Sanguinetti's not ready to make the team, and he's willing to take a one-year, $2 to $3 million contract, I will have no problem giving that to him. But I find it very hard to believe that Corey Potter, Michael Sauer, Bobby Sanguinetti, who is a Blue Shirt Banter favorite right now, or Heikkinen, or even Delzato, or even, you know what I mean? If none of them are able to make the team, the Rangers have bigger problems than a sixth defensive slot.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead, Mal.
I was just going to say that they're, you know, they're the stockpile. I'd rather see a young kid in there than a guy that's basically is a nothing out on the ice. He's not good and he isn't bad, but, you know, I'd rather see a young guy develop in that sixth slot.
I agree. All right, Mal, we're going to let you go.
You take
everybody,
care, guys.
You too. All right. Make sure you check out Mal's show tomorrow night on Blog Talk Radio, RangerCrisis.com. Take it easy, Mal. Have a good night.
You too, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, I'm going to take one more call here, then we'll touch on some other stuff. We got one other caller here that's been waiting for a few minutes. So there we go. 347 area code. You are on Blue Shirt Band Radio. Who's this?
Hey, Mike in Howard Beach. How you doing?
Mike from Howard Beach.
There is
maybe only one caller that we have that could possibly follow up the mouth, and that's Mike from Howard Beach.
I was going to say that the mouth is a tough act to follow. I was waiting for, down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier.
The mouth, he is great. We love having him on the show. What's going on, Mike?
Just a quick sidebar. Dodgers up 1-0. They did show Donald Trump at the game, so I think we're looking forward to a new owner. We'll be very happy about that. We
and
have
actually,
Joan Rivers as GM.
All right.
Fantastic.
The Mets just tied the game, if you must know.
Well, I'm watching it right now, yeah.
If we must have baseball talk, then the Mets just tied the game. But anyway, go ahead. What's on your mind?
Anyway, I was reading an article yesterday in the Post. I don't know if you ever read Larry Brooks. The guy's a hack, for one thing. I mean, Dr. Seuss writes better prose than this guy. But he had an interesting thing about the deal for Brashear. Last week I was saying that I think it's a good deal. We need an enforcer. We need some toughness. But he's talking about the fact that the Rangers are trying to have a culture of togetherness, all for one for all. And, you know, after what Brashear did to us in the playoffs last year, the players might think that management is betraying this type of culture. I mean, what do you think about that?
What Larry Brooks basically said was that the Rangers went against the family.
And I
understand that line of thinking, and we can debate Donald Brashear for hours and weeks, but the bottom line is that he's got a 2-year contract. He's a Ranger, and he's going to have to be accepted in the locker room. And the first time he steps on the ice to defend a teammate, I think it all goes away. What do you think, Joe?
I mean, what me and Jim were talking about this the other day, and Jim brought up a very good point. If I could choose between Colton or Donald Brashear, I would take Donald Brashear, not for the work ethic, not for the fighting. Donald Brashear is a better hockey player than Colton Orr is. Donald Brashear is a better skater. He's a little faster, and he's a lot tougher than Colton Orr is. He is an upgrade from Colton Orr. He just is. There's really no doubt about that. The problem that I see is I agree. Blair Betts is a much more important part of this team than any enforcer the Rangers could have brought on. And bringing Brashear, it is a little bit like spitting in his face. And, you know, how can you ask Betts to take a hometown discount and stay with the Rangers when he wants to leave for more playing time when you have Donald Brashear in the locker room? So I understand what Larry Brooks is saying. But people say, oh, the Rangers should have kept Colton Orr. You know, the Rangers, how could they let Orr go for Brashear? Brashear's a better hockey player, period. End of story. There really is no debate. And Colton Orr had a fantastic year this year. So, I mean, honestly, to me, I do think Brooks is right. There is, you know, a bit of betrayal here. And, you know, we can probably expect not to see Betts back. But I think that at the end of the day, Glenn Sather gave the Rangers an upgrade.
I mean, I would agree. That the fact of what they're doing to Betts, I think, is the most tragic circumstance of the whole situation. To give him a hometown discount, I think, is a travesty.
Yeah.
And it's not just picking up Brashear, but what he did, but what they're doing to Blair Betts, I think, is the real kicker there. And I think it might bite us in the ass, but still overall, I'll take the Brashear deal. Any deal. I mean, for one thing, the guy came cheap.
He did come pretty cheap. And I think Jim is also right, and I said this last time. The first time that Donovan Brashear goes on garden ice and knocks someone's teeth out who's throwing their weight around, everyone's going to forget about Colton Orr.
Of course. I mean, you know, everybody's mad about it now, and that's because he hasn't played a shift as a Ranger yet. You know, everybody can rant and rave all they want, and the bottom line is, and this goes for all sports fans, we all have short-term memory, all of us. All will be forgiven the minute, you know, everybody was PO'd when Messier took the money and ran to Vancouver, and everybody was, Messier, you know, took off, and he's all about the money, and everybody, you know, was pissed at Messier. And then the minute he came back, all was forgiven. They had that bury the hatchet ceremony at his contract signing when he returned to the Rangers. We all suffer from short-term memory, and in today's sports, you kind of have to, because there's so much movement, there's so much free agency, and there's no team loyalty, player loyalty. You got to have short-term memory. Like I said, it is what it is. He's a Ranger. We're going to have to get used to it. We're going to have to deal with it. And when he's there to protect, you know, when he steps in, when somebody goes after Marion Gabbert or something
like
that, all will be forgiven very quickly, trust me. But anyway, Mike, we're going to let you – unless you got something else?
I was just going to say something quickly about Brashear, which is neither Jim nor I are saying that, you know, if Don Brashear starts throwing cheap shots, I will be the first one to tell you that he should not be on the team anymore. But from the standpoint of what we're looking at now, I don't think you can complain.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on. Now I'm gonna take you to task a little bit. Would you not call what Sean Avery did to Tim Thomas? Would you not call that a cheap shot?
Well, we're also talking about two different things. Well,
No, we're not. We're talking about the exact same. If Donald Brashear, if Donald Brashear does that to Varlamov in a game against the Capitals, are you gonna say he shouldn't be on the team? Or are you gonna say, did you see what Brashear did to Varlamov when nobody was looking?
Well, I think that there's a difference between that, because that is not an attempt to injure, and what Brashear did to Betts. If Brashear pulled, like when Sean Avery pulled the stunt like that, I wasn't happy with it. I never said that it was a good move. I said, but there's a huge difference between Sean Avery doing that to Tim Thomas and Donald Brashear throwing a flying elbow and, you know, hitting Betts in the face. I think, personally, Brashear should be on a very short leash. If he's suspended more than once in a season, I'd sit him.
I disagree. I think he should be on a very long leash. I think that's what we need. Put him on a short. We need some excitement in the garden, and I think he could provide it. Once you get some excitement in the garden, it gets contagious. The most exciting arena in sports, and
absolutely.
You know, I think New Yorkers have a very short memory when it comes to us pulling off a good cheap shot on another team. What do you think?
Yeah. It will be interesting to see Sean Avery, you know, agitate players, and then the other team is to answer to the best fighter in hockey. It will be a very interesting combination. And we're a much tougher team. We needed to be a tougher team. Now we are. So I agree. This was a good move, but I'm not for the baggage he brings. But we'll see what happens. Obviously, time will tell.
Well, gentlemen, thank you very, very much. Got to get to work. Jim, I'll talk to you later, all right?
All right, Mike. Always a pleasure. Thanks for checking in. Talk to you soon.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. We've got one more. Let's take one more call, Joe. What do you say?
That's fine with me.
All right. We got 848 area code. Thanks for holding. You are on Blue Shirt Banter Radio. Who's that?
Hey, it's B4MV01. My name's Scott.
Hey, B4MV01. How you doing? You need an easier screen name, my friend. What's your name? Your real name, or is that your
Scott.
Given name? Scott. Okay. Scott, welcome to Blue Shirt Banter Radio. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Good. Before we get started, I want to thank you for the contributions you're making to the site. You've been great.
Oh, thanks, man. I love the site.
Great. We're glad to hear it. We appreciate you getting up those fan posts for us. And just so let's let everybody know about that. If you guys find a news item or something, you hear about something going on with the Rangers that maybe we haven't gotten put up on the site, go ahead and post it on the site as a fan post and just post it. And then when I see it, if it's something that I think is suitable for the front page that everybody will want to talk about and comment on, we'll move it to the front page. That's what we did with a couple of things that Scott put up yesterday. You know, even though there's four of us that are part of the Blue Shirt Banter team, we all work during the day. We all have other things going on, and sometimes we can't catch all the news right away. So when you guys help us out, we really appreciate it.
Yeah, we do appreciate it.
And you know, it's like I've told everybody from the beginning, the site just isn't about me, and it's not just about Joe or Ryan or Rob. That site's for all of us, and we all contribute, and that's what makes the site great, and that's why the site is growing in leaps and bounds, and we're loving it. So that being said, Scott, what's going on tonight?
Oh, nothing. Just getting ready for the papers I got to do in my summer classes, really. Just going crazy.
Beautiful. sounds like a lot of fun. What do you think So we were just talking about a little bit. We got back into the Brashear subject because we were actually discussing it last week, and that we got about halfway through the show, and that's when the news broke about Marian Gaborik. So it was good that we were able to talk about some happy news. But since we were just on the subject of Brashear, let me hear your thoughts real quick on it, and before we move on to some other stuff.
When I first saw it, I was kind of more or less surprised, just like you guys were saying with the Betts thing. I was like, if you guys want Betts back, how are you going to take the guy that tried to, like, kill him? And then once I saw that we signed Gaborik, I kept thinking, like, yeah, he is a better fighter than Colton. He hits harder than Colton. He skates faster. You're right. He's an overall better player. You know, he does provide more of a presence of, oh, no, you know, if, like, I hit Gaborik, I got to deal with Brashear now. You know, so that's what I really like. That's what I like about Brashear.
No, absolutely. I mean, that's I do think he'll provide a little more protection to the superstars, and that's what they brought him for. And we're all going to have to get used to it, like I said.
Yeah. I mean,
so,
like, it is going to be a sore spot seeing him for a little bit, but the one guy was saying, once he goes out there and beats someone up, Everything's going to be forgiven.
And you know, that's what I said. We all have short-term memory because we kind of have to. So, anyway, Scott, we're gonna move on, take some other phone calls. I appreciate you calling in, and keep up the great work on the site, man. We appreciate it.
All right, I'll talk to you guys later.
All right, take it easy.
You too.
All right, so we've cleared the board of phone calls, at least for the moment. And, again, if you guys want to check in with us, the phone number to call is 646-478-4692. I wish they could give us an easier number to remember. Maybe something like 1940 at the end of it or something. I never forget that one. But anyway, one of the other things we wanted to touch on is the free agent market. And things have been kind of slow the last couple of days, although Koivu did sign. Very slow. Just kind of dribs and drabs and signings. Kovalev signed with the Senators. I guess that was either yesterday or the day before. And then today the big signing was Koivu. And there's still a couple of guys still out there. The Rangers still have some holes to fill. We've talked on the site about Sikora, and we've talked about Zubov and Tange, and we had Dave a few minutes ago chime in with his thoughts on Tange. And he does make great point that you're going to pay more money for the same production out of Tange that you'd get from Zverev. And that is a great point. And, you know, then why spend the extra money on a guy that's 7 years older? What are your thoughts? What other free agents would you like to see the Rangers maybe take a run at?
Well, I think that when you look at the free agent pool, you're not going to find anything that the Rangers can use. I don't think Tanguay is a good option. I don't think that, you know, Zuboff would be a good option. I think what the New York Rangers need to do is, and this is pure speculation, there have been some whispers that the Rangers are interested in Frolov. There are much more. It is confirmed that the Rangers are looking at Patrick Marleau and Brad Richards. Obviously, out of all three of those, I'd probably take Frolov. He's a little bit younger. But there are words going around that the Rangers are trying to see if they can't acquire Patrick Marleau, who had 40 goals last year. He has 1 year left on a contract, $6 million that year. Or Brad Richards, who had an injury played there last year. But Richards is making $7.8 million for the next 2 years. So, for me, the Rangers are probably going to have to do this through trades. I don't really see them getting anyone through the free agent market that can help them. They need a speedy young center. There is maybe Mike Pompey on the free agent market, but aside from that, you know what I mean? I think they may have to look through ulterior methods.
I don't know about you, but I don't want anything to do with Comrie.
Yeah, I don't either. And
I'm not interested. No thanks.
I think that this, and I have a story that's going up in a week or two, maybe we'll see how it goes, saying that maybe the Rangers are looking into Martin St. Louis. I mean, there were rumors going around that, you know, Tortorella, he's Tortorella's favorite player. He fits Tortorella's mold like a T. The guy still has it. He scores. He's fantastic on the power play. He would obviously help us a lot. So maybe the Rangers are looking into getting him as well. I mean, you know, at this point it's hard to tell, but I think the free agent market is, you know, there's nothing to find there.
I as far as free agents go, I think that I would still like to see them possibly bring two ex-Rangers back, being Sikora and Zubov. I think Zubov, if he would take a one-year deal, I think that would be kind of a perfect transition. While some of the young kids get ready, he would help tremendously on the power play, and I think that that would be a strong move. While we, you know, while some of these guys like Sanguinetti and Delzato and some of the other prospects, you know, get a little more seasoning as the year goes on, and I think Peter Sikora, that he would be able to help. I think he had 13 power play goals this year. I don't think anybody on the Rangers had that many power play goals. I don't know if the Rangers scored 13 power play goals all year long. I think he would be a big help. And I think the salary on Sikora was probably in the $3 million range. And I think Zubov was in the same neighborhood. I don't remember off the top of my head now. I don't know what your thoughts are on those two guys. But I think those are two players I think the Rangers could get at a reasonable price and could help the team.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little skeptical on Zubov. I don't think that I really think that a kid should take the spot. I think Sanguinetti's time is now to make the team, and I'd like to see what he brings to the table. Sikora would not be a bad option, but using money on Sikora, you know, the Rangers don't need a quick fix. You know, they need, you know, maybe they go out, maybe they get for a little, I don't know, but I would not be upset with either of those two.
Okay. So, and just so everybody knows, there is if you guys are listening along on Blog Talk Radio, there is a chat room that's open. You can jump in the chat room and chat with some of the other people that are listening. And I just want to say hello to Paulie D, who has been commenting throughout the show. He's obviously listening, and he's just making comments on everything we say. So I just wanted to say hi to Paulie. I'm kind of chatting, trying to drop in little bits of information to him as we go along, because he asked about Messier getting that the when he left for Vancouver, he was offered a 1 year deal by the Rangers for $7 million. He turned it down to take a 3 year deal with Vancouver, and that was when the Rangers went after Joe Sakic that we talked about. And made the 3 year offer sheet to him, which was matched in the end by the Avalanche, and he never became a Ranger, obviously. Do you imagine how different do you think our history, the Rangers' recent history, would be if Joe Sakic had accepted that offer sheet and came to the Rangers?
I don't know, but it, like when you think about it, I mean, if that were the case, the Rangers probably would have never traded for Messier. And Messier kind of is the main reason why the Rangers won the Cup in 94. So
no,
if I could go back, I would not tamper with it.
No, Sakic was 97. It was after Messier had come and gone.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, I guess it would be interesting. It would be different.
There might have been
one of the best players, yeah. You know, they're 1997, we could say, instead of 94, but never know.
There might have been no Eric Lindros, no Theo Fleury, no John Muckler. Who knows? Everything might have been different in those days. So as we touched on a little bit before, two Ranger players have filed for arbitration in the coming weeks. Ryan Callahan and Nikolai Zheredev. We've beaten the Zheredev subject to death, and we'll talk a little bit about Ryan Callahan. Joe, what are your thoughts on what Callahan's going to get in arbitration? Let me rephrase that. Do you think it even gets to arbitration? I think the deal gets done beforehand. What do you think?
I do, too. I mean, my problem is, I don't know if you heard, Sather offered Callahan $660,000 for a year. That was the contract numbers. That's ridiculous. Callahan obviously deserves more than that. I'm not sure. Arbitration might be very good to him because Glenn Sather said that trade talks with Ottawa for Danny Heatley ended when Ryan Callahan's name was in the mix, and to the point where Glenn Sather would rather get rid of Dubinsky than Callahan. So I'm very curious to see where this goes. I think arbitration will probably offer him, you know, $2.3 million, maybe $2.5 million at the highest. And the Rangers should sign him for that for a couple of years.
I agree. I love Ryan Callahan. I'm a big fan of his. I think that after John Tortorella took over as head coach, I think he was their best player for the remainder of the season. His scoring picked up after the coaching change, as did Dubinsky's. But I think Callahan was their best player down the stretch. I think he's only going to improve over the next couple of years. I think he's going to be a star in New York, and the Rangers should do whatever they have to do to keep him. Let's not lose him like we've lost some others.
Yeah, I agree.
And that'll be a bargaining chip for his agent at arbitration. If Sather wasn't willing to trade Callahan for Danny Heatley, you know, he's kind of tipping his hand on how valuable he thinks Ryan Callahan is to the Rangers organization.
He'd probably get $2.5 million.
That sounds about right. If you want to call in, the phone lines are open, 646-478-4692. Blue Shirt Banter Radio will be here until 9 o'clock and talk about whatever you guys want, Ranger related. Mets, I think they're still tied 1-1 here. Who cares? Anyway. Also, we want to touch back, I guess, a little bit on the Scott Gomez trade. We didn't get to go over that at all. We didn't get to completely discuss that last week. Everything, like I said before, everything kind of got thrown up in arms when the Gaborik deal went down. Obviously, no Scott Gomez trade, and there's no Gaborik. So, and I like the players that the Rangers got back. They got back two of the Canadians' last five first-round draft picks, Christopher Higgins, who signed a one-year deal yesterday, and Ryan McDonough, who is touted by everyone as a number one or 1A defenseman in the NHL. I can't wait to see him play. Higgins, what do you think about the Rangers giving Higgins that one-year deal?
Well, like I said to you, I think that in the case of Higgins, I don't think it's a big deal to give Christopher Higgins a $2.3 million deal for three or four years.
I think it was $2.25 million.
I mean, I think that, you know, if you give him 3 years for $2.25 million, people don't realize Zetterberg was being paid $3 million a year to score 90 plus points, And the way that that happens is because Detroit is so savvy with their players that when arbitration hit or whenever they signed Jared, they gave him more years for less money. If Glenn Sather would have put, if Glenn Sather puts an offer for Dubinsky and Callahan on the table, $2.5 million, a little bit more than they might get through arbitration for the next 5 years, and they take that, they're going to be entering the prime of their career making $2.5 million. And you never know. Chris Higgins, and a lot of people say, I said to Jim, what if Chris Higgins scores 30 goals next year, he's going to want $5 million. And then Jim said, well, what if he scores 10? If he scores 10 goals, you put him back out there, $2.25 million is nothing. It really is nothing. And for the next, if you have to hold on to that for two more years, I'd eat that contract.
Absolutely. But, well, and if he only scores, and if he only scores 10 goals this year, well, then you can re-sign him for the same money probably for another year.
Exactly.
How about we take, you want to take a phone call?
Let's take a phone call.
All right, we're going to take a phone call on Blue Shirt Banter Radio. Again, one more time, the number to call in is 646-478-4692 and 727 area code. You're on Blue Shirt Banter Radio. Who's this?
Hey, man, this is Paulie D. What's going on, guys?
Paulie D.
Hey, Paulie.
Coming out of the chat room. How are you, buddy?
Yeah, you guys are killing me, man. I got to put my two cents in. First of all, I want to say, Any Ranger Show is a show for me. You guys are doing an excellent job. I got one. Check my show out. I do a couple Ranger hooks myself. Yeah, guys, without a doubt, getting back to Brashear, I have to agree in the fact that we'll probably love him the way we love Lindros and hated Lindros. First time he punches somebody's face in for running Gabrick is the first time the Ranger fans will forget everything. So I have to agree there. Doobie
Paulie
and Callahan.
Hold on, I got to cut. Paulie, did we ever really love Eric Lindros? I don't really think. You know what? And I can't really. You know, Eric Lindros, he'd had so many concussions by the time he was a shell of himself. He put up decent numbers for the Rangers, but he was nowhere near the same player he was. He was nowhere near the dominating physical player that he was with the Flyers by the time he got to the Rangers.
I agree with you and I disagree. You know, you also have to remember that Eric Lindros was surrounded by some big body players when he was body around. And he was on the line with Theo Fleury and Mike York. He's the biggest guy. Theo Fleury was 4'4". God bless him, he had the biggest heart in the world. And Mike York, it was another player. I know Ranger fans were upset to leave him, let him go, and I got to tell you, Glenn Sather was right. There's plenty of Mike Yorks out there, even though we got Tom Pody, and that turned out to be a bust. But my point is Eric Lindros was very good for us considering who he played with. I mean, you know, he wasn't going to John LeClaire in his prime, and who's the other guy? I forgot offhand.
You know, I was just trying to think of his name too. In the
I don't know. They were the crazy eighth one though.
Sucksberg.
Yeah, it'll come to me the minute we get off the air.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I know my hockey. I should know this. And Michael Renberg.
There you go.
I mean, you're talking about two guys that are 6'5", 6'6". Each sport in 225, 245 with Eric Lindros, it's like the linebacker team coming at you. But regardless of the fact, I understand what you're saying. Yes, you know, were we ever truly in love with Eric Lindros? No, but you know, he did what he could do, and I thought at all the deals that we had made, you know, Bobby Holik was a freaking bust. He was a disgrace. I'm sorry to say he was ever a Ranger. But, you know, all the deals that we made and all the things that fell apart, I think Eric Lindros did his part. But at the same time, you know, the thing with Betts is, first of all, are we getting Betts back? Because I think it's a mistake if we don't.
I don't.
We had the best penalty kill in the league last year, and it was solely due or big part due to having Blair Betts in there.
I think the Brian Boyle signing, I'm pretty sure that may have signified the end of Betts' career in New York. I could be wrong, but how many fourth-line centers do you need? And the Rangers seem to have a few too many of them.
All of them, yeah. I'd like to think that if Blair Betts didn't come back, it would be because Blair Betts wanted to go somewhere else and
right.
not because the Rangers didn't make an offer to him.
Yeah, amen to that. I have to agree with that, my friend. Speaking of Boyle, I had posted earlier. You know, I honestly have to say I'm kind of excited. I mean, the kid's what, 6'6"?
6'7".
6'7"?
He's,
what, 245?
245. As near as I can tell, and nobody contradicted me, so I might be right on this, I think he ties Chris McAllister, I don't know if you remember him,
uh-huh.
as the biggest, the tallest guy to ever play for the Rangers. Chris McAllister was also 6'7". Yeah, it's, you know, I just think, but you know, he puts his skates on, and that puts him up around 6'10". That's a pretty imposing figure on the ice. I'm kind of excited to see him play as well.
Well,
you know, I've been a big Ranger. My show, mostly, I didn't even start on Blog Talk Radio. I actually started on Newcaster a while ago. And I love the Rangers, but like most Ranger fans, I'm very skeptical of the players and, you know, who's doing what. And I got to tell you that for years I've said, you know, especially when we had Jágr, we didn't have enough big guys. And it was the other thing I commented about was the defense. I think we need to get bigger and stronger. People, you know, laugh at the fact that, you know, they felt that Philly gave up too much to get Pronger. I would have gave up just as much. We need that nasty, tenacious, ugly guy in the back who makes you pay every time you even look at Henrik Lundqvist.
Joe, where have you heard this before?
I've heard this from me because this is exactly what I say.
How about I said it on last week's show. This is why I really wanted the Rangers to go after Komisarek. The Rangers have needed that type of defenseman since – they haven't had one since Ulf Samuelsson, and then before him, Jeff Fookaboom, obviously.
Right.
When you don't have that type of physical player back there patrolling your defensive zone – offenses aren't afraid to get in your goaltender's face. They're not afraid to take chances.
Don't you agree that Staal is becoming that defenseman?
No, Staal reminds me of – Staal kind of makes me feel like the new and improved – well, wait, let me rephrase that because Ranger fans won't like that. I won't say the new and improved, but let's say the 2009 version of an up-and-coming – new type of Brian Leetch. That's how I see Staal, believe it or not. Now, with all that said, what I mean is that his future looks so bright. I think the kid's going to be able to carry the puck. I hope to see him do it this year. And, I mean, just beating people the way Leetch used to do. Leetch would come back and just go right to the net and bang. It's in the, you know, it's in the net. And I think Staal is getting to that point. But to make him the new and improved guy, he's got a little bit more of a tenacity to him and an ugliness to him than Leetch ever did. Leetch was he was a great player, and I love Brian Leetch, but he never really had that ugliness to him, the ugliness that we need back there. And I
right.
think, isn't Soré available?
Soré? No, he signed forever.
He did?
Yeah.
I thought I had read he was available, but... yeah, that's. I think that's what we need, boys. And, I mean, I hate to see Gomez go. I liked Gomez in the fact that, you know, and I don't care what anybody says. I've been watching Ranger games for my whole life. And I'm not going to tell you how old I am, but I'm like a fifth-generation Ranger fan. And I thought Gomez, the one thing that Gomez did, and I don't care what people say, I never really saw Gomez not trying. Well, at least not like Drury. Drury, to me, is a complete disappointment. And to wear the captain C, I don't know, brother. It's, you know, I'm a Ranger fan. I love the Rangers with all my heart, man. Anybody who knows me will tell you that. Chris Drury has disappointed me terribly as the New York Rangers captain.
We've debated the Drury captain thing on our website, blueshirtbanter.com, quite a few times. And I am kind of with you, Paulie, in the fact that I think that when your captain steps on the ice, whoever he is, he has to have there should be a presence. if that makes sense. When, you know, when your captain's on the ice, you should there should just be that presence about him. You should feel like any, you know, if things are going bad, when your captain steps on the ice, you should feel like the game could turn at any minute. You should feel like, okay, the captain's on the ice. He's gonna find a way to get this turned around. And I don't get that from Chris Drury. Now, a couple of the other guys on our team, on our writing team specifically, Rob is a big Drury fan and likes Drury as a captain, and that's okay. We disagree. I just when he steps on the ice, I don't get that feeling from Chris Drury.
Absolutely, you couldn't have said it any better. I agree with you totally.
And as
I don't
far
know
as
if that's because Messier has spoiled us for so long, or you know, I mean, you don't have to say another word because I totally agree with exactly that.
And
bad player, but first of all, he's our second highest player. I don't even want to talk about who our first highest, but does he make more than Redden?
Yeah, Redden makes 6.5, Drury makes 7.1, and now Gabrick makes 7.5.
You know what, though? Gabrick, even if he plays 45 games, will produce more than Drury and Gomez did all of last year, my friends. Gabrick is a superstar, and that's what excites me about having him. Because even if he plays 45 games, he will score more goals than Drury and Gomez combined.
He could play 45 games and put up 60 points.
Absolutely.
And I just want to get back to, you mentioned Scott Gomez, and I just kind of wanted to give my closing thought on Scott Gomez since he's been traded and we can put the issue to rest. Scott Gomez, there were two things with Scott Gomez. One, he was a bad fit for the Rangers from day one. He was a bad fit. The Rangers took two number two centers, paid them like number one centers, and it was just a bad fit from the beginning. Gomez didn't mesh with Jágr, and Gomez didn't have, and then after Jágr, he didn't have the kind of talent around him that he needed to succeed. I think now he has it in Montreal, and I wouldn't be surprised if he puts up decent numbers up there. And I'm not a huge Scott Gomez fan. I just think that him and the Rangers were a bad fit from day one. The Rangers overpaid him. They paid him like a number one center, which he's not. They paid Drury like a number one center, which he's not. And you know, a lot of people say how Gomez couldn't fit with Jágr, and Jaromír Jágr, as great a hockey player as he is, he's kind of, in my opinion, he's kind of a, I don't know what the word is I'm looking for, but he's a bit of an anomaly. You know, Jaromír Jágr likes who he likes, and that's it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, he loves playing with
Nylander. Exactly. And when Nylander wasn't around anymore, it was kind of like all of a sudden Jaromír Jágr didn't want to – he couldn't play with anybody.
Well,
and
see, I just think that the thing with Gomez was – and I agree with you and I disagree. I don't think that he was a bad fit for the Rangers. I definitely agree he was overpaid like he was a number one center. The things that he did bring, though, is – I mean, if you look at every game last year, if that guy don't carry the puck, who else carries the puck?
Very true. Very true.
I mean, you think about it, he was the only – Drury never carried the puck. Drury could hardly even dump the puck in half the time. I saw so many giveaways by Chris Drury that it would make me sick. The one thing about Gomez was he'd gather speed, and they gave him the puck to carry the puck to get it in the zone. And we just – if he wasn't bringing it in – we weren't getting it in the zone, guys.
Yeah.
Honestly, I mean, if you look, I look at tape day in and day out, and I watch the things that players do. And, you know, Gomez, I hate to say this, last year was, to my person, he had a ton of ice time, and he was the only guy who actually, to me, looked like he gave a crap. I mean, aside from Callahan, Dubinsky, and Stahl, I'm talking about Niedlander. I'm talking about Drury. I'm talking about, you know, Zhurdov. I mean, Zhurdov was on fire, and then, poof, he disappeared. If we sign him, I'll, you know, great. I don't know if Tortorella can work with him. If we don't, I'm really not going to miss him. I got to be honest.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. But anyway, Paulie, we're going to move on. We're going to talk about a couple of things before the show ends. I appreciate you calling in. And I hope you'll check out the site, blueshirtbanter.com, and listen to it. Check us out again next Wednesday night.
I'll check you guys out. I've already added you as my favorite, and I hope you do the same, man. Check it out, Paulie D Radio Program.
Okay, great. We'll take a look. Thanks, Paulie.
All right, man. Take care.
All right, Joe. It's just me and you again. We got 29 minutes to go.
What's next on our list of things to hit?
Hold on. I just want to give out the call. I want to give out the number one more time, 646-478-4692. If you guys want to call in, like I said, we got about 28 minutes or so left on this third edition of Blue Shirt Banter Radio. Well, I think as of now, I think let's consider the Scott Gomez issue closed. But with Scott Gomez departing for Montreal, it now leaves two alternate captain slots open. And we've debated this a little bit on the site, back and forth, some of the choices. Do you give it to Stahl, Callahan, Dubinsky? Personally, I kind of like the idea of giving at least one A to Stahl, just because I think you should have at least one of your defensemen should be represented, and I don't think it should be Roosevelt or Redden. Stahl is obviously a star in the making. And I think it would be a good idea to give him one of the A's, and then maybe either Callahan or Dubinsky should probably have the other one. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think that the Rangers should definitely give one to Chris Higgins. Chris Higgins was an alternate captain for a long time in Montreal. They took it away from him last year for whatever reason. I don't know why. But he should definitely have one. He's charismatic. He's a nice guy. He speaks full English, and he cares. You can see he cares. You know, when we got from Habs Eyes on the Prize, they gave us, you know, the lowdown on him. They gave us a scouting report. He said that he cares too much. I like having a guy like that to have the A, because you guys were talking about Drury. Drury is a quiet captain. He doesn't talk much in the locker room. He doesn't chew guys out. Chris Higgins, I feel, would do a little bit more of the talking. As for Stahl, I think that if any one of the big, you know, the young guns between Stahl, Dubinsky, and Callahan, I think Stahl could handle the pressure the best. I agree with you. The defensive corps should be recognized as an assistant captain. I'd probably give it to Stahl and Higgins.
You know, some teams, I don't know if there are any currently doing it, but what teams have done in the past is there have been two alternates on the road and two different alternates at home. And who knows? Maybe that's something John Tortorella might do. He's still you know, getting to know this team, and you know, he only spent a month and a half with the team before the season was over, and you know, he might do something like that as he works his way in and figures out just who his guys are. You know. I'm sorry, I didn't hear. You're cutting out a little bit there.
I agree. I think Stahl deserves it, and I still think Higgins is where it's at.
Plus, you've got Gabrick, who was the captain on the Wild. You know, do you give him an A now that he's with the Rangers? He's obviously going to be expected to be a leader on the ice. So that'll be quite a debate, I think, for the Rangers to go over. So we've got about 25 minutes to go, and here's the part of the show that Joe and I were kind of looking forward to, because we think this might get you guys a little riled up. And I'm going to give the phone number out one more time before we get to this.
646-478-4692.
We've got plenty of open lines if you guys want to call in. And what we want to talk about a little bit to kind of take the last 20 minutes of the show is Glenn Sather. He's obviously a hot topic among Ranger fans. Most Ranger fans don't like him. He takes a lot of guff from Ranger fans, and a lot of it's deserved. The Drury and Gomez and Redden deals really hurt the team as far as salary cap goes. But I think he's getting a little. He deserves credit, I think, for the work he's done over the last couple of weeks. I think that the Rangers had a very good draft. And I think that overall he's done a good job in free agency, and he did a good job with the Gomez trade. I mean, let's look at it this way. Mistakes were made with the contracts that were given to Drury and Gomez and Redden and Roosevelt. But when a guy makes a mistake and you give him the opportunity to correct that mistake, then, you know, you should give him a little credit when he does correct the mistake. And I think he tried to do that. He traded Scott Gomez. He freed up some salary cap room. The Rangers' biggest need was scoring, and he went out and he got the best available scorer that was out there. The Rangers weren't going to give Marian Hossa a 12-year contract, and if they did, there would have been a season ticket burning party for Ranger fans in Times Square if the Rangers had handed Marian Hossa a 12-year deal. They went out and got Gavrik. The Rangers are confident that he's healthy. And, you know, they think he's going to be productive for the duration of his contract. And again, you know, he got great value for Scott Gomez for a salary dumping trade for what he got back, I think is phenomenal. And it kind of makes up for, in my mind, it makes up for trading Kovalev to the Canadiens for Joseph Blais a couple of years back. I think Sather and Gainey are even now as far as I'm concerned. But I think Sather, you know, for his faults, and Lord knows he's got several, I think he's done a pretty good job the last couple of weeks, and I think he deserves credit. What are your thoughts, Joe?
I completely agree with you. I think that post-lockout, Sather has had three big mistakes. Gomez, Drury, and Redden. I don't think Roosevelt was a mistake, and Drury wouldn't be that big of a deal if his contract was for $6 million, but it's not. It's for $7 million, so moving on. I think the Scott Gomez trade was brilliant, okay? He unloaded $7 million worth of contract money, worth of cap space, for $2.25 million worth of cap space. Got a guy who will score more goals than Gomez, maybe not put up more points, but score more goals, and got their number one defensive prospect. It was genius. Sather, and then he turns around and he signs Gabrick to, instead of a 10-year, $75 million deal, a 5-year, $37.5 million deal. I, you know, you and I both agree that the Brashear signing was a good thing. I think that Glenn Sather's gotten it right. I think that management and the fans and writers and the media has put a lot of pressure on him, that he's made a lot of mistakes that he needs to rectify. And I think that he started doing it. And I think that he notices it. And I think he's done a fantastic job so far.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, the last 2 weeks, he's done his best to A, fix the mistakes that he's made, and B, fix the issues that the Rangers have. There's still a lot of work to do, obviously.
He's getting it done.
But it's a start. You know, there's a lot of work to do. What are they going to do with Wade Redden? Could Roosevelt still be traded before the season? I think that's a possibility. There's a lot of work to be done, but I think they got off to a good start.
Yeah, and don't forget that a lot of people say that, you know, oh, you say that doesn't, you know, he trades all the youth for these old over-the-hill veterans. Sather stuck to his guns and didn't trade for Danny Heatley. He didn't pull the trigger. I think he's learned his lesson, and he wants to win just as badly as everyone else does. So I think that he deserves some credit for this year.
Yeah, for sticking to his guns the way he did, I could definitely have seen a Ranger, you know, a few years ago, the Rangers making that deal and giving up Dubinsky and Stahl and maybe, you know, one of the other prospects on the way up to get Danny Heatley. And because they'd done it, the Rangers, you know, have a history of doing it. And I was really, in the end, I think the Rangers will be better off for not making that deal. And Danny Heatley can rot in Ottawa at this point. I don't know
yeah.
what's going to happen with that. It's such a mess. Let's take a phone call. We have from Las Vegas. We have Avery God. Are you with us?
Oh, I'm here.
Good evening, Avery God. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
What's going on, John?
Well, I've been listening to you guys' show here for a little bit. You know, I had some opinions, throw them out there real quick. For Wade Redden, yeah, he had a bum season. But a lot of Ranger fans got in his case. You got to realize, one, it was his first season. Two, when you signed Wade Redden, you weren't getting a man for goals. You were getting a man for assists. He is not a goal producer. He always puts up 25 assists or more in a season. I think only one season he didn't put up that many assists. He was a guy that you're looking to feed the puck around on the power play. So Ranger fans can't really expect much out of him goal-wise. Danny Heatley thing, you know, hey, they didn't get him. No big deal. Would have been great to see him in a Ranger jersey. But, you know, like you said, Stafford stuck to his guns, and he didn't give up prospects for him because I would have been upset to see Dubinsky or possibly Callahan leave the Rangers. That's the Rangers' future right there.
Can I make a quick comment about what was said about Redden?
Well, yeah, because that's what I want to comment on, too. But you want to go first, or can I go first?
If you'd like to go first, you may.
Okay. John, here's the thing with Redden. Okay, so you want to chalk it all up to just him being in a new city and playing for the Rangers, and you expect better things out of him this year. Is that what you're saying?
I wouldn't say you expect better things from him. He might, you know, he didn't have a chance to really adapt. He had two different coaches he had to work with. Torch is, to me, a hell of a lot better than Tom Rennie, but he never got a chance to fully adapt to one solid system. He's his first time playing in New York City, you know, I mean, really getting into it, other than when he played for the Islanders for a couple of seasons. He's just, I think he needs to adapt. The biggest example I can give towards that, look at Theo Fleury when the Rangers got him. First season, he only put up 15 goals. When the offseason kicked in, first thing Fleury says, I had a bad season. Well, I'll do much better next year. Second season with the Rangers, he put up 30 goals for the Rangers. I think everybody's writing his case a little hard. Yes, I think he's overpaid. If anything, until the trade deadline of next year. If not, hey, Rangers have tons of defensive prospects sitting in the minors waiting to come up. Delgado, Sawyer, Potter, Gilroy is an unsigned draft pick. I'd love to see him start for the Rangers this year. Why the hell not? I'm just saying, put in at least a little bit more time. If he can't do anything, I mean, it's not like you're really going to be able to trade him. Nobody wants him. See what you can get for him. If not, you bury him somewhere.
But John, here's the concern with Wade Redden. 50, 36, 38, 26. Those are his point totals the last four seasons. Steadily declining. He was a minus five. He was a minus five this year. First time in his career, first time in 10 years, he's a minus. I think I would definitely say you're in the minority of people that think that Wade Redden is going to play much better this year. He did play better under Tortorella, but he would have been hard pressed to play much worse. Joe, I know you're chomping. I know you're chomping at the bit over there. Go ahead.
Actually, I may surprise you with what I'm about to say. I kind of agree with...
You always do.
Avery God.
Thank you, Joe.
Wade Redden has never been a defense-first defenseman. He has never been that. His style of play has always been jumping into the rush and, you know, being on the attack and having his defenseman, his partner, cover his mistakes in the offensive zone. When did Wade Redden play his best this season? The first 10 games of the year and the last 10 games of the year under Tortorella, right? That was because in the first 10 games, he played that offensive savvy, I'm going to stay in the zone, you know, take my time kind of stuff. The kind of stuff you expect to see out of an offensive defenseman. After that, when he began molding the team into the 2-1 system, the defensive team stuff, and Redden started playing back more and his play declined, I would be hard-pressed not to see him play much better for Tortorella next year. He knows his place. Am I saying he was good? No, he was atrocious last year. But defense has never been his strong point. We were never sold on Wade Redden because of his defense. We were sold on him because of his offense. And in a new system, he may flourish. But he was never a fit for Tom Rennie's defense-first system. He never was. He was always uncomfortable coming back, and he always wanted to join the rush.
Good, fair enough points. I will say this much for Wade Redden. You said that he played his best hockey the first 10 games of last season and the last 10 games of last season. He better hope that that continues this year, because if he doesn't come out and play very well the first 10 games of this season, the Garden Beast will not be happy.
No, but I think, you know, a lot of people get mad at Wade Redden for the contract. You would sign that contract too. You cannot blame Wade Redden for signing that contract.
And
you
I
can't.
Don't. I've said that before on the site. If Wade Redden made $2.6 million a year, we probably, he's just another, you know, we probably hardly ever talk about him. But you know what? You remember in Spider-Man, with great power comes great responsibility? Well, it's the same thing with money. With great money comes great responsibility. When you're paid that much money, you're expected to perform a certain way. And, you know, he hasn't. And I hope for his sake and for the Rangers' sake, I hope he does. So what was the other point you made, John? I don't remember now.
About Wade Redden?
No, there was something after Redden, wasn't there?
I don't exactly remember what I said about Wade. I remember what I said about Wade Redden. I remember any of the things that I might have brought up. I mean, there's tons of things I can bring up about the Rangers that, as Joe said before, and you as well, the others made good moves. Oh, the Healy deal. I'm glad he didn't pull the trigger for the Healy deal. I don't want to trade the Rangers' future. I've always been a firm believer of building young and building chemistry. Always been a big fan of that. And a lot of GMs don't do that. And, you know, so they're sticking to his guns. You realize that Dubinsky could possibly be the Rangers' next number one center within a year or two. Callahan...
Dubinsky might be the Rangers' number one center in a month or two.
Yeah, that's really true. Yeah, if they're not going to pull a trade or sign anybody else to go up there to play with Gaborik and Drury or something.
Forget a year or two. I think if the season started tomorrow night, I think Dubinsky's your number one center.
Yeah, I agree.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, it would be nice to have, if the Rangers were able to get a number one center that, could maybe give you another 25 to 35 goals a season. Dubinsky can give you goals. He's a good, tough player. He has a good, strong work ethic. He gives it all his every game. But you don't need a top-of-the-line center to always score. If you got Gaborik, who you can feed the puck to, or Callahan, or Drury, you got players that can score in this team. They just need to get the chemistry built. They need to find the right paths. I think Brashear's a smart move because Brashear's not coming here to make friends. He's coming here to be a goon. That's what he's always been in the NHL, as a goon. That's fine with me. Let him clear lanes. Let him beat people up. Let other teams know, hey, when we play the Rangers, you can't push them around. They got Brashear, they have Avery. They re-signed Boyle, who I think, he's another guy who could use another chance. He's a tough player. Just they have tough people on this team now that can smack other teams around because the Rangers were pushed around a lot last year. Cole Moore, yeah, he was tough. He was, to me, I wasn't upset when they lost him. He wasn't that tough of a player to me. He wasn't a revenge seeker when somebody beat up on the Rangers. Brashear is. So is Boyle, and so is Avery.
Yeah, I agree. And especially with Pronger in the division now, he's going to have to be dealt with. At some point in the season, he'll have to be dealt with, and I think that right now the Rangers are pretty capable of dealing with Chris Pronger. But John, I'm gonna let you go. We got another call we're gonna take. I thank you for calling.
No problem.
And make sure you check us out next Wednesday night.
I will do my best to do so.
All right.
I'll talk to you guys later. Have a good one.
Bye. You too. All right. Now we're gonna go to. We have a call. 718 area code. Who's this?
Stan from Bayside.
Hey, Stan. You're on Blue Shirt Banter Radio with Jim and Joe. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Always
good. I'm glad.
I'm
glad you called back because you called on our first show, and by the time we got to take your call, it was late, and I couldn't get we couldn't get to talk to you. So I'm glad you did call back in. So anyway, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
What's on your mind tonight?
Well, first off, I've been a Ranger fan for almost 40 years. So I've been around a while. And I'll put my hockey expertise against anybody, anywhere. I love this talk about, I mentioned Wade Redden when I called a few weeks ago. And I don't even think the guy can play in his league anymore. To me, he's like having a lamppost on the ice. he just can't move. And with his restrictive salary, you got to dump the guy. That's my opinion on that. And
so you think the only thing that the Rangers can do with him is put him in Hartford, pay him the money to play in Hartford, and just and deal with it, or would you prefer to see them buy out his contract?
No, the buyout is you can't do that because the way I read it is you would have to it would last for 10 years at $2 million a year.
That's correct.
Out,
yeah,
which is crazy.
Yes, without a doubt.
I mean, it was one thing if the cap kept going up, but if you're going to have it where it's stagnant or goes down, and you've got a 10-year, drag with that guy, you can't do that.
Yeah, that's quite the albatross.
Yeah. And, I did like the Gomez deal, obviously. And, the funny thing with that is when I first heard it, I heard, Gomez for Higgins. I thought, hey, that's great. Higgins is a pretty good player, and they had all that cap space.
Right.
I went out shopping for about an hour, and I come back, and I go back on the web, and I see they had McDonough thrown into the deal. And I'm like, wow, I can't believe he got that.
Yeah, it was an amazing deal. I think it's probably maybe one of the best trades Sater's ever made, at least since he's with the Rangers. I'm really excited to see these new guys play.
Well, the thing is, with one thing, I don't like to say that. I think he's been living off his Edmonton reputation for 25 years, but he has stockpiled an awful lot of good defensemen, good young defensemen. And defensemen in hockey, like pitchers in baseball, you can't have enough of them.
You can never have too many.
Right.
Okay, good, then I'm glad, actually, that you've called in, and you say you're not a Sather fan. How do you think he's done the last couple weeks between the draft and I understand you can't really analyze the draft for a few years, but as far as the draft and the Gomez deal and the free agency, how do you think he's done the last couple weeks?
Well, I think he's done well. I mean, again, as you said, you won't know about the draft for 4 or 5 years. The Gomez deal was excellent. Gabbert, to me, is one of the best five players in the league. I mean, if he's healthy, he'll score 50 goals.
Right.
50 goals with his eyes closed. As long as he's on the ice. So he's done well. They need at least one more forward. And the thing is, this is one thing I don't like with the salary cap is that you got to trade salary for salary. That's why the Gomez thing was so amazing. But
right,
if the Rangers
going
to bring in a high-priced forward, they're going to have to unload some contracts because they'll be over the cap. That's why you can't really trade young guys because you can't trade guys making $1 million for a guy making $5 or $6 million. It doesn't work.
Right. It makes it very difficult to operate. Who are some of the free agents that are still out there that you think could help the Rangers?
Well, Tanguay is a pretty good player, and I always liked Kotalik when he was in Buffalo.
Kotalik is still out there, right, Joe?
Yeah, I think that, and I will, if I can step in here for a second.
Absolutely.
I think that Afinaganov, you said Kotalik for Buffalo, he is still available. I say Afinaganov might be a better bet. A lot of people, and I got reamed for this when I put it up there on the banter, but Afinaganov at 80 points 3 years ago. Buffalo has not been a great team. He has not fared well in their new system. I think he'd be worth a $1 million, $1.5 million contract. I think that a fresh start could do wonders for him. And this is sports. If you don't take a risk, you're not going to get a reward. I would love to see Afinaganov in a Ranger jersey for cheap. Because right there, that's a guy who can score 20 goals, put up 50 assists. I mean, stuff like that doesn't happen by accident. He was very solid for a while.
He's another health risk, though. I mean, he hasn't he 56 games 2 years ago, 56 games
well,
a year ago,
he,
and 48 games this
year.
Year.
He was benched this year.
Yeah, I really never liked him that much. He was a very flashy player. He'd come down the ice, make all these moves, and then nothing would happen. He's kind of like Zverev. He has all the skill, but he doesn't put the puck in the net.
Yeah.
For as a 1 year deal for, you know, a little amount of money, you know, you all right, but can't do anything more than that.
No, I would stay away from Afinogenov. I just think he's too much of a head case. But Kotalik might be a possibility. I don't know if you listened to the whole show, Stan, but Dave that we had, he was like our first caller. He brought up a good point about Tanguy. The Tanguy will put up the same numbers as Zverev, but for a lot more money. If you're going to sign Tanguy, then you might as well just match the offer for and give Zverev what he wants for the same production.
That much money.
Market value on Tanguy is probably around $5 million a year.
Well, I wouldn't sign a guy for that. That's no way.
Well.
No way. Tanguy does not score enough goals, and I think that if arbitration comes down and says Zverev, you're awarded $3.5 million, and the Rangers take it, I think that all of these questions get washed away, because then you can have, say, Dubinsky centers Higgins, or Dubinsky centers Gabrick and Zverev. Then Drury can center, you know, Higgins and Callahan, you know, and then it depends on if Betts comes back, you know, who centers the third line. Anisimov might center the third line. I think that the Rangers should only look to fill scoring gaps if Zverev does not come back next year. Because in Zverev, Higgins, and Gabrick, you have three 20-goal scorers. In Gabrick, you have, you know, a 40-goal scorer. And Dubinsky and Callahan are wild cards. You know, Dubinsky could put up 20. We're all expecting Callahan to put up between 20 and 25. I don't think the Rangers need to spend money, and I'm not worried about the five for Tanguy. I'm worried about the 5 years that come with the contract.
I don't think a guy like that's going to get 5 years.
I think Tanguy could get it.
Well, he hasn't gotten it yet.
No, he has not gotten it yet. It is true.
So, I think every day that goes by, you know, the length of the contract and the amount of the contract, you know, lessens with each passing day. But who knows? But Stan, we got about 2 minutes to go. Anything else?
No, I'll let you go for now.
All right, thanks. I appreciate you calling back, and I hope you'll check in with us again next week.
I will. Take care.
All right, take care, Stan. Now, see, what we got to do is maybe next week's show, since we're gonna start. You know, there won't be a whole lot of Rangers news, but we still wanna be on the air. We'll get some guys like Stan and a couple of the older Ranger fans on, and we could talk a little bit about Ranger history. I think that would be pretty interesting. Some of the things you younger guys might not even remember.
Yeah, well.
But anyway, we got about 2 minutes to go. Joe, any closing thoughts?
Well, I guess the only thing that you know, we touched on, like I said, wait out the week. See if Zverev doesn't have a contract. If Zverev does, if the Rangers sign him, I think the Rangers are pretty set when it comes to players for next year. I mean, really, aside from that, you know, if Zverev doesn't sign, the Rangers are going to have to look to do something. That's my two cents.
Yeah, definitely. But I also, you know, it's starting to sound like, and this was kind of surprising as opposed to what we heard, you know, a few weeks ago or a month ago, but it's starting to sound like Grachev is going to be given every opportunity to make this team out of camp, and I personally would love to see that.
If he makes the team, all the power to him.
Even if we have to suffer, which we will, the growing pains of Grachev, I would love to see the Rangers take that risk and put him in there. If they think he can play at the speed of the NHL, then why not?
Yeah.
But yeah, it'll be interesting to see. But I want to thank everyone for listening. Blue Shirt Banter Radio, and make sure you check us out on www.blueshirtbanter.com. You guys have been great with comments, as always. We really appreciate all of you that come on the site every day and read us and comment and keep the fan posts coming and the fan shots. I want to thank everybody who called in tonight. We didn't hear from Anthony Jay tonight. I'm kind of surprised. But we did get to hear from Dave and the Mouth and Scott and Stan, and we want to thank all you guys, and we hope you'll check in again with us next week. Joseph, as always, it's a pleasure.
You too, sir.
And we will do this again next Wednesday night at 7:30, from 7:30 to 9 here on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. And again, thanks everybody. Have a great week. And the Mets are winning 4-1 if anybody cares. All right. Have a good night, everybody.